Welcome to the Financial Bees Podcast, the practice owner's guide to maximize practice value and create personal financial success. Your host, Eric Miller, is the co-owner and chief advisor at Econologix Financial Advisors. He is also a national speaker and published author in financial matters focused on practice owners at every phase of ownership.
All right, everyone, welcome to the Financial Beast Podcast for veterinarians. This is the place that veterinarians go for financial advice. I'm your host, Eric Miller, along with
Eric Gersh.
Yes. So from the topic today, from the intro, you know, we're going to talk about the best investment vehicles for building retirement income streams. And again, I think we're going to have to do this, you know, both for associates and for owners, because it is going to be a little bit different.
A little bit of both.
And let's go with the underlying problem that we've seen.
Oh, simple. People aren't saving enough.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
And number two, owners specifically are guilty of this, but they just want to rely purely on the sale of their business.
Yes. And, you know, heck, 5 years ago, I would have said that's foolish until I saw some of the valuations and what some of these sale proceeds were over the last 5 years.
They were great.
And they were pretty good. But I think the idea that you should rely upon the sale proceeds is going to definitely be faulty.
That, and I'd say the peak has passed.
Yeah.
Multiples they're down.
Yeah.
They're not 2021 level.
Yeah. So for anyone that's like maybe not in the know, in the veterinary industry, there's been a lot of corporate buyers out there. And I think there's probably like 40 some groups out there that are buying veterinary practices. And obviously when you have that much money going into an area, it's going to drive up prices. But most of that money is borrowed money. And it's, which means that when interest rates go up, which they have, then that's going to make it more costly to borrow. And they're not going to, you know, be able to spend as much as they did. I think that's what that means.
Yes.
So anyway, okay, let's talk about what we're going over today, which are the best investment vehicles for building retirement income streams and not relying 100% on just the sale proceeds or just your retirement plans as the sole source for your retirement income. Yep.
Yep.
So we're going to talk about the best method for building, you know, these different income sources. And I will get into the detail, but here's the thing that I think we've kind of discussed before, you know, the idea of building multiple income sources, that's not a bad idea.
No.
I mean, it's not a bad idea at all. But I think it's pushed out there like you have to like have multiple income sources like immediately.
Yes.
And I guess the way that we've looked at it is it definitely is smart to create multiple income sources, but you got to get one going first, right? And for most of the people that we're talking to, I'm talking about your practice. Like you got to get that thing humming and purring first before you can even really think about creating multiple income sources.
Yeah. That's what everything else is going to be built upon.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be the engine to your wealth. It's going to be the method in which we utilize to accelerate getting other income sources going, especially if you want to do it quickly. Right. Because, I mean, I think we did in the last one that's going to take 30 years to retire, and we didn't really want to have that be I didn't want to have our owners think that it took 30 years to retire. But
yeah, we don't want that to be the target.
No, the traditional model is it's going to take, you know, 25, 30 no. years to, if you're just saving so much in your 401k plans and that's it. So I think we have to first, before you start looking at, you know, creating multiple income sources, you got to get your main wealth engine, your main engine to your wealth, really, really viable first and foremost. Because how many owners have you, vet owners have you dealt with where, you know, they couldn't get a viable practice? And I mean,
too many.
Yeah. And then, how many, are able to create significant assets outside of their business because they're not getting their practice. They're not getting their practice house in order.
Yeah. They're not, it's a viewpoint thing. They're not looking at it as the driver of wealth. They're looking at it as, okay, this is my business over here. This is my household over there. And the two aren't directly connected.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no strategy on how to connect the two.
Exactly.
Right. And that ends up kind of causing the burnout. That ends up kind of causing, you know, I'm here every day in the practice and it really isn't providing for me what I need. Because you really never set it up to.
Yeah. Feels like a job.
Yeah. And I guess the majority of the time when we're dealing with veterinary owners, like how much of their practice revenue is going to their household? Like, well, I'll say it a different way. I think most of them from when I was advising veterinarians, which seems like eons ago, you know, most of them just set up enough that was coming from the practice to pay for their lifestyle, their taxes and their debt.
Yeah. They take a salary.
Yep.
80, maybe 120, somewhere in between there.
Yep.
And then they'll take out draws here and there. Oh, I need a little extra for estimated taxes, or I need to take $5,000 for a family vacation, but really nothing that's systematic, automatic, just as needed.
Yes. So when we talk about the best investment vehicles and the best method for building multiple income streams, again, it's going to start with this. Make sure your practice is humming and purring and profitable. That should be your first. So if we look at the sequence of things, that's the first order of business, yep. Right? Is to make sure that your practice is profitable, to make sure that you are, and you know, how we do that obviously is making sure that people have the right make break number, their accounts are set up so money is flowing, that they're taking their profits, which we'll talk about, you know, as we go on here. But it really is making sure your practice is, like, you know, running efficiently.
Yes.
You know, so that is definitely the number one thing to create other income sources. You got to get your first one really humming and purring and viable and flowing like the Mississippi. Okay. So from there, the next part of the sequence then is that we have to figure out a way. So let's say the practice is profitable. Let's say that you got some money, you know, kind of building up in your business checking accounts and your savings accounts. And now it's like, okay, I need this practice to start serving my household. So the next thing, of course, I think what we do is you have to set up a method in which you are taking business money and channeling that to the household. Yep.
Yep.
And we, what do we call that account?
The wealth building account.
We call it the wealth storage account. Wealth building account, wealth storage account.
Tomato, tomato.
Yeah, you're right. And so now what is that account? Is that like some secret account that no,
it's just a simple joint bank account. Well, joint if you're married, but yeah, just a basic bank account where we set up money to automatically transfer once a week from the business checking over to the personal account.
Well, automatically. Aren't I going to have to pay tax on that money?
Of course, if it's profits, yeah, you are going to have to pay tax on it, but you're better off making the money and forcing the profit first and paying a little bit of tax than never making the money in the first place.
But my business can't afford for me to do that right now.
Cry me a river. Then start at a low amount. Start at $100 a week or $200 a week.
Kirsch, you're getting mean on this one right now. You know,
well, it's the basis of everything we do.
It is
got to be firm on it.
Yeah, we do. So I think what he's talking about here is just because we see like the number of people that have, when we've told them, look, we got to start ripping money out of the business and providing it for your household, because we don't want you to be dependent upon the practice forever, right? As your only income source. So the only way you're going to do that is if we set up a method in which the practice is there to kind of help you create other income sources. Like, Like, it doesn't really matter, like, the investment vehicles. If there's no money going into them, you can't build assets.
No.
You know?
No, it doesn't matter what you invest in. It takes money.
Yeah. It's going to take money, some seed money, to, like, get these other investments going and funding them. So, and unless you have some other secret business that we don't know about that's making $1 million, $2 million a year in revenue, we got to have to use the business to be able to do this. So I think that's where what happens with most vet owners is they're just underutilizing the practice and they're not putting enough pressure on the business to be able to create the household that they want. And when I say create the household, I don't mean like, you know, have a big house on a lake. I'm talking about having multiple income sources, being out of debt, those kinds of things. So, okay. So we set up this account, wealth storage account. We have money come out systematically and automatically every single week. What's the ideal percentage?
10%.
10% of your what?
10% of your gross revenue.
Of your gross revenue. Say it again, 10% of your gross revenue. I can just hear the accountants just like their gears are grinding right now, aren't they?
Yep. They're stressing.
They're stressing about over this. How can you do this? Is this legal? Of course it's legal. You can, what?
You own the business. Of course you can pull money out.
Yeah.
Of it.
If you're, I got news for you. If you're an S corp, there are two methods in which you can pull money out.
Salary. Owner draws.
Owner draws, right? Totally legal, right? And as long as you pay yourself a reasonable compensation, which I think most people do.
Yeah. It's just got to be somewhere around market rate for what you'd be paid if you did a similar job elsewhere.
Yeah. As like as a veterinarian, right?
Yeah. So if you see patients 4 or 5 days a week, what would you pay an associate to see patients 4 or 5 days a week?
That's what
you pay yourself.
80, 100 grand.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's reasonable, right? Now you can't do 10,000. No. And take the rest out in profit distributions. But certainly you can do that. So that really is the first order of business right there, is to get that account going, set up, and then 10%, ideally 10% of your weekly collections are going into that account. Now, most people can't do that right away.
No. Most people are going to start out in that 3 to maybe 6% range on the low and high end.
Yep.
But from there, you just slowly increase it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do, I don't know, let's say I start 3%. I'm going to do that for 4 or 5 weeks. Then I'm going to go up to 4% for 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah.
And I always tell every new client this. Everybody balks at it in the beginning.
Everyone does this right here.
But I promise you, as an owner, if you do this one thing, it will become a game. And you will push yourself to increase it. And I'm going to push you as well, or your advisor will push you as well. But once you start taking money off the top, it becomes fun. Let's see if we can do more.
Oh, wait. That's a no-brainer right there. That's an applause. That's definitely an applause. Yeah. And I think this is where, you know, because if you try to do this yourself, it's at some point in time, the business is going to give you an obstacle and a hurdle, and you're going to stop it. And then you're going to not get it back going. It's kind of like going to the gym once you stop going one time.
Always a reason not to.
Okay. So again, we're talking about the best method for building multiple income streams. So get a separate account set up, call it whatever you want to. We call it a wealth storage account. Make a weekly automatic systematic draw from the business. It's coded just like a profit distribution. Yes, it's going to give you an income tax problem. We'll solve that in another podcast. But it's the only way that you're going to create money outside of the, because otherwise the business will just spend it on something, yeah, right?
You're just putting your profit first.
Yeah. That's all you're doing. So then, okay, great. So now we have, if you got a $1.5 million practice, theoretically, maybe in the first year, maybe 80 to 120,000 is going into that wealth storage account. What in the heck do we do with this money? Because it's not designed just to sit in a bank account,
no.
Right? Earning, you know, 2 or 3%. We need to make sure that it is, it's doing something.
Yeah.
Right. So this is where we start getting into the types of investment vehicles that we think are probably best suited for owners. Now, remember, you have your business. I think most people have qualified plans already set up. I mean, I'd say 90% of the people that we deal with already have some kind of qualified plan set up.
Yeah. And by qualified plan, 401k, simple IRA, one of your traditional retirement accounts, and you fund that through your salary.
Yep. So
whatever you pay yourself W-2, most people put a percentage in there.
Yep.
But that's it. You can't fund a retirement account through owner draws.
No, you can't. It has to come through your salary, right? So then you're limited how much you can put in. And quite frankly, that's really not or should be the only source of your retirement income.
No, it can be a piece.
Yeah, it'll be a piece. It'll definitely be a piece. But as you're putting money into the wealth storage account, now we need to come up with a strategy of where that money is going to go. And I think it's important to know that, you talk to three different types of advisors, you're going to get three different answers on what kind of investments you should make.
Yep.
I'm going to say 90% of the advisors out there are going to say you should invest most of the money that you're earning from the practice in what?
Stock market.
Public securities,
yep.
Right? Marketable securities, things like mutual funds or individual stocks or those things. And we're not opposed to that.
No.
We're definitely not opposed to putting money in public securities because I think, look, you know, whether it's, you know, bonds, well, you know, treasury bills are paying 5% right now. Whether it's individual stocks, dividend paying stocks, whatever, you know, whatever it would be, ETFs, I think that it's proven in the past to be a place where you can position some money for capital appreciation and could pay dividends along the way.
Yes.
Right. So we're not anti-stock market, like a lot of these guys who just go all in on, oh, I'm never investing in the stock market. And it's a big casino. And, you know, look, everything can be manipulated. Everything has the potential to, you know, have its ups and downs. But I think it's still a viable place where you can invest prudently and get your money back.
Yeah, there's certainly risks, but
you know,
we gotta put the money somewhere. So a piece of it should go into the market.
Yep.
Keyword, a piece.
Yeah. So we're talking so a portion of that. So of that money going to wealth storage account. So I have $100,000 going into my wealth storage account. Generally, what do we recommend percentage wise that would go into some kind of wealth management, traditional marketable security strategy?
Right around a third. So probably 30,000. So
30,000 a year would go $33,000 a year would go into that type of strategy. And, you know, the allocation is going to be different for everybody based upon their age and their risk tolerance and such.
Yeah.
Okay. So then let's go to the other side of the bucket then, which would be real estate. Okay. So I think that everyone that I've ever talked to, especially, you know, a lot of veterinary owners, they love real estate.
Everyone
loves real estate. And we're not opposed to real estate at all. Because if you look at it, it is definitely a place that people have traditionally, if you've done intelligently, you've been able to make a return higher than the inflation rate, and it cash flows.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's no doubt that real estate would be a place that you should position your money. Now, I am going to say that you should also make sure that you try to acquire your practice building if you can.
I was just going to say real estate exposure includes if you own the building that the practice resides in.
Yes, because the ideal scene is that you have your building, you secure your building early on or mid-career, I think, as you're going, right?
Yeah, gives you some years to pay it down, gives some years for the market rate rent to increase.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you can pick that up by 50.
Yeah. Even 55, if you're going to practice till 70, you know, it's totally fine. And it's great tax benefits that you can run through it. And what else? I mean, when you sell, you keep the building.
Exactly.
Like how many of our owners that have sold have their building now as probably a primary retirement income source?
Basically everyone.
Everyone that's had a real successful sale has owned their building. And, you know, we may have used some of the proceeds to pay off the building because we had to, or it was just the strategy made sense based upon how much rent you're getting. But that could be probably like 50% of your retirement.
Yeah,
is your building.
Buyers usually don't want the building.
No. for whatever reason.
So if you can lock them in, do a 10-year lease, couple of renewals.
Yeah.
That might be a 20-year income stream.
Yeah. And it's usually from it. And look, I got news for you. It sucks to move and nobody wants to move, especially a veterinary hospital. Like all that equipment and all that stuff.
Files.
Nobody wants to move. So you lock somebody in for 10, 15 years, man. That is a unbelievable, especially corporate who, you know, are pretty dependable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Someone's going to pay the mortgage for you.
Yeah. So that's a great idea if you can secure that. But even on top of that, when we're putting money into that well storage account, 30%, you know, we would go ahead and recommend that you put into real estate. Now, look, there's all different kinds of real estate that you like. You know, you can, there's commercial properties, there's, you know, Airbnbs, there's residentials, there's, you know, real estate syndications that you can, private placements, those kinds of things. So we could do a whole podcast just on the different types of real estate, but just know, you know, I'm not boxed into investment advice. It's not like, oh, you can't do this. Like real estate's definitely an important component. You should, you know what you're doing. You should understand the real estate. It should provide a cash flow for you too. I'm not buying it just because I think the property is going to get developed one day. It should already be like,
yeah, it should be paying you.
It should be paying you
stable
something.
Stable income.
Exactly. Yep. So it does have to already cash flow before you buy, because most likely you're going to have to get some debt on it if you're going to purchase it. But putting a portion of your well storage money into real estate, I think makes a total amount of sense. So you got one end of the spectrum, you got wealth management, which is traditional stocks and bonds. The other end of the spectrum, you got real estate. And then we have something in the middle. And what's in the middle of now? A third goes there, third goes into wealth management, third goes into real estate, and the third goes into
life insurance.
Oh, I need a good one right here. Right? Is it laughter? Yeah, because now we're going to get a lot of people to laugh at us, right? Either that or they're going to be like, I am totally skeptical of these
Why
guys right
would
now.
I invest
these guys,
in
I knew
life
it. I knew it. They were nothing but life insurance salesmen the whole time, just yep. guys as advisors. No, not at all. Look, we told you that we love marketable securities. We told you that we love real estate. We're going to tell you that we love
life insurance
and the annuity industry. It's all three of these. And vehicles have different levels of utility.
Yeah, they don't all correlate.
No. And to me, if you're going to be a fiduciary and you're going to be prudent, how can you be prudent as a fiduciary and put 90% of your retirement savings in marketable securities?
You can't.
No, it makes no sense. So I get the argument, but it just doesn't hold water. So for me, if you're going to allocate money, because you're already taking an enormous amount of risk in your business, right? And if you don't think so, just lose a veterinarian.
Lose a veterinarian,
yeah.
Have a lawsuit.
Yeah.
Have your building get hit by a tornado.
Yeah. These are all things that have happened, right? We had one client had a fire. Remember? Burned
to the ground.
So your business is risky. You know, one veterinarian, I mean, how much they produce? $600,000-$700,000. The value they bring to your practice is almost, it's over $1.2 million, $1.3 million. I mean, it's a risky business.
Yeah. We've seen a client go from a 5-doctor practice to just him.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's nuts. So it is a risky endeavor. And I don't think that putting all of your business profits and when you channel them to the household, putting those at additional risk makes any sense. So we absolutely positively would recommend that you put a portion of that into some kind of well-designed type of annuity or insurance policy.
Yep.
Now, again, there's all different kinds out there. We're not going to get into this, you know, as far as this podcast as well as like what kind and how you do it. Just know that, you know, with most types of insurance and annuities, they're designed for protection of money. You can build cash value and you should be able to get some kind of guaranteed income.
Guarantees provided.
Yeah. Guarantees provided. What's wrong with that?
Nothing.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that.
It's only a third of my money. Don't I want some guarantees on my money?
Yeah. Because look, I mean, I think the dependence upon Social Security as your guaranteed income source, you know, I don't know.
guaranteed until they can't pay.
Yeah. So there's, look, there's less workers going in the workforce. There's less people. And okay. That's how Social Security is funded.
God, don't get me going on a rant.
Yeah.
I'm about to.
Go ahead. Go.
I'm about to.
Let's hear it.
Well, all right. Most people think Social Security is okay, I pay my money in for the 30 years I work. It goes into an account and then I pull it back out. Not true. Money in, money out. So the people that are working today are paying for the people who are retired today. And the people that retire tomorrow are paid by the people, you know, that are growing up right now. So at the end of the day, it's built upon every generation being bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not happening. Declining birth rates. You know, there's a whole host of reasons, but at the end of the
day, why is there a declining birth rate, Gert?
At the end of the day,
we don't want to go there, do you?
No. There's not enough money being paid in to supplement what's going out. So what we've been doing for decades is pulling from the trust fund, which is just a savings account of the surplus. That trust fund, it's getting low. It's getting real.
I think
low.
What you're trying to say is that you need to basically create your own little Social Security fund, yeah. Right? And that's exactly what the insurance industry is there for. For is the protection of outliving your money. That's it. It's not rates of return. This isn't going to provide you, you know, the 12 to 15%. That's why you have your practice. That's why you have your real estate. That's why you have wealth management. That's why you have all these other things. Not every one of your investments needs to keep pace with inflation.
No.
You know?
No.
I think that's where a lot of veterinarians get that wrong, because like every single account I have has to keep pace with inflation.
Yeah. They think the only thing that matters is return. And
yeah.
I'm not saying return isn't important, but it's only one attribute.
Yeah. You gotta look at every asset that you own, right? And combined, all of your assets should provide enough return to outpace the inflation rate, but you're going to have a significant amount of cash, which is not,
yep.
Right? Maybe some fixed income, which is providing, you know, interest payment. That's
matching
not,
it.
Yeah. That may match yeah. it, you know, insure. And then you get into the real estate, you get into those other things, but you know, there's risk there for those.
Yeah.
So I think the idea here is like, you don't want to rely on one of anything. And the insurance bucket is definitely, again, is an important piece to the whole plan because it does offer some stability there.
Yeah, you can build it up over your career.
Yep.
And then you can make it pay you income for the rest of your life. And you can do that with an annuity. You can do that with a life insurance policy.
Yeah.
But there's ways to use both of them to guarantee a check until the day you die.
Yeah.
That simple.
And I think the key to all three of these, whether it's real estate, wealth management, and or insurance, is that they're designed to pay back.
Yeah.
Like you can set up to pay you back, right? To provide some kind of a cash flow for your household. And that's what you're doing it for. And at the end of the day, if you do that, you got your sale proceeds, of the business, or even if you keep it just as an income source, you got your rent on your real estate, you got your qualified plans, you got your insurance, you got your other real estate, and you got your other wealth management. That's like what, 6 or 7 different income sources now.
Not too bad.
No. So now you're starting to build, you know, a household that really, even if the stock market crashed 58% or 7, I don't know why that was an obscure number. 60%, 70%, it's not going to imperil the survival of the household.
No, because you've got money in insurance and real estate. And yeah, maybe the market's down 60%.
Yeah.
Maybe your real estate's down 5%.
Yeah. So you can just,
up.
Yeah. So you're just pulling from different sources until one of them comes back and then
giving yourself the option.
Yeah. But if you had 90% of your money just sitting in 401ks and IRAs and, you know, 2 years before you retire, the markets are down 40%. That's a problem.
You're going to have a rough time.
You know, that's a problem. So, so here, I guess the bottom line is this, look, you guys need to have a strategy on how you're building multiple income sources. And it isn't just focusing on the investment vehicles, because that's kind of secondary. If you don't have a viable business, if you're not setting up a system to pay yourself, to rip money out of the business so that you can use that money to fund other other types of investment vehicles.
Yeah, everything we just talked about was predicated on the the practice being viable.
Yeah. So that is that's the best way to do it. That's pretty good.
Not too bad.
Yeah, we did that in 30 minutes and then you even did your little rant right there. So I'm going to give you I'm going to give you an applause on that one.
More to come.
More to come. Okay, guys. So, hey, thanks for listening again. If you like this, this podcast, please, write a review, share it with any other owners that you have, talk about it in your group, say, hey, we just listened to these guys, they're really awesome. And, we're going to make sure that we bring a ton of content for veterinary, associates and or owners, because we love you guys, what you guys do. The care that you give and the help that you give people to make their pets better. And of course, make the community much happier as well. So we'll see you on next podcast and take care.
You have been listening to the Financial Beast podcast, where we talk about how to turn practice profits into personal financial wealth. For more information on how to become a financial beast in practice ownership, visit financialbeastpodcast.com. You may also want to call the office at 727-588-1540 to request more information on becoming a client or arrange to have Eric speak at your next event. That's 727-588-1540 or financialbeastpodcast.com.